Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everyone. Welcome. Well, today we're talking about empowering yourself. If you need a little romance rehab in the bedroom, my second guest today is clinical psychologist Dr. Victoria Wilson. And together with her therapist husband, she's written a new book called The 30-Day Sex Solution. So we'll be talking about that later on in the show. But first, if you're still struggling to manifest the life you desire, if you're still stumbling with the theory of the law of attraction and visualization, my first guest just might have the answers you need. Peter Basker has earned several advanced degrees. Peter Baxter has earned several advanced degrees. He's done postgraduate research as a visiting professor and worked with many charities along the way. He's highly accomplished. He's also a professional speaker, author, musician, and artist, and he lives in Chicago. His new book is called The Point of Power, Intend, Declare, and Detach. Peter, welcome.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Well, I'm really good, and I'm pleased to have you on the show today. I actually learned quite a bit reading your book, because I think there are some big holes in the law of attraction theory, and I think you covered some of those holes. So tell us a little bit about this, first of all. The point of power, there's been a lot written about the law of attraction and empowering yourself. Why did you feel the need to add your voice to the list of books on the shelves there?
Well, we've got to go back to my childhood, where I essentially suffered a bit of a family trauma setback, and it kind of forced me to look at my existence in the universe. I was reared in a parochial Lutheran school system where I was exposed to religion, and I think the trauma made me a little bit more precocious than the average child. I asked questions, didn't get answers, and I sought to look beyond the human, I guess, misinterpretations, maybe contradictions that I saw that were occurring, that were essentially, you know, humans getting involved with what I think is an amazing truth. It took me 20 years to get to the point where I kind of had a clue as to what we were talking about, and I set out to determine what that truth was, and that brought me to writing the book, The Point of Power.
Well, Dennis Kingsley, author of New Consciousness for a New World, says that your book, Peter Basker's book, The Point of Power, must surely be one of the most common sense books to be written on the subject of personal empowerment through the act of intention, and that your own life proves that you've walked every word of the book. That must make you feel good, right?
That's a great endorsement. Thanks for reading it.
Well, I want to go back a little bit more, because you said this started when you were younger, and I know that your father died suddenly when you were very young. It was very sudden, and you were about 5 years old. The family dynamics changed. Your mother changed. How did it change you, Peter?
Well, it forced me to grow up real fast. I didn't have the childhood experiences that many of us do, and it forced me to ask some serious questions and right, wrong, or indifferent answer them myself, because I didn't really have the parental support system that's ideal.
And you became interested in science and spiritual teachings. You've done an intense amount of study on these. When did that begin for you?
Well, I began a literary review of ancient theological texts that went back all the way to 500 BCE, Lao Tzu and the Tao Te Ching. He was the founder of Taoism. Anything that I could get my hands on between then and now, the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, anything that pointed to spirituality. I took these texts and essentially did essentially a spreadsheet, and anything that the text did not agree on was removed from essentially a list. This list was a dilution of common denominators or truths that they all pointed to. I then built a bridge and crossed over to quantum physics, and I said, well, let's look at the most brilliant minds that we have that have done research relative to quantum physics and and the study of the universe. And so I looked to Stephen Hawking, Albert Einstein, Carl Jung, Max Planck, and Richard Feynman, all of them having looked at different aspects, but again, looking to dilute the truths. I took these truths from both genres of perspective and wove them into a fabric that you find in The Point of Power. I basically took what everyone has kind of looked to as a truth and said, well, this is probably true. It's been around for several thousand years. It's existed, and now, gosh, even the most brilliant minds are saying it's true.
Right, right. Tell us what The Point of Power means. You say The Point of Power, the book, is for anyone wanting to explore universal truths. But what exactly do you mean by The Point of Power?
Well, the Point of Power is essentially where we go with our mind that is entirely in the present moment, where we're not thinking about the past and what happened in history, and we're also not projecting into the future. We've essentially cleared and cleansed our mind and have the most direct link with what I'll call source energy, the energies that are the universal forces that create worlds out of nothingness.
Mm-hmm. And you say that until we get to that point, until we get to our only true point of power to manifest, that we remain in ego. And I want to talk a little bit about ego. Much has been written about ego. you say we have to allow our ego to become transparent. I'd like you to just explain what that means and why it's necessary for us to allow our ego to become transparent.
Well, the ego essentially is a survival device. And as we become more successful at using our ego to get what we want, it becomes more dense. We begin to believe in who we are. We begin to believe that who we are is what we do. We begin to believe that who we are is what we look like, how much money we have in the bank, how attractive we are, what other people think about us. And obviously, the more successful we become on that thought train, the more it builds ego and belief in the ego. Now, unfortunately, ego is an illusion, and it will not bring us what we think it will. And that's a whole conversation, separate question. But the opposite, the opposing, or the other door that we can walk through is spirit, and that's a door that where we approach human transactions from a perspective of love and compassion, and most importantly, a fearlessness and courage.
Mm. And you said if we operate in ego, it's a whole other question. So presumably it's going to bring us the opposite of what you just described to us.
Well, my belief is that ego is essentially a fear-based position. When we believe in when our ego is dense, we believe that we are what we have. And so we're very concerned about losing that. And so that results in a fear-based position. In other words, we go into relationships, and we're thinking, oh, boy, what does this person want from me? What are they trying to get out of me? You go into a business transaction, and you think, now, you know, what are they trying to do here? Are they trying to mess me over? Are they, you know, what's their angle? Conversely, and the position that I believe is highly functional, and all the religious texts and theological texts point to this, is to come from a position of faith and compassion and love. And there's a lot of books pointing in this direction as well, from written by men that are entirely successful from a material sense. And so it makes it more believable. In other words, coming from a position of, I call it a host mentality, where you come to the transaction with, what can I do for you? How can I be of service to this situation? If you're in a relationship, how can I be of service to you? If you're in a business transaction, what can I give up here? How can I make this a better transaction for you. And obviously, being intelligent about what you're giving up, but going to it, a negotiation and saying, well, what do you want? What can I give you? Maybe sometimes you can give up things that don't cost you anything. Mm-hmm. And so it's not where you're being walked on. It's not where a situation where you're losing in the end. In fact, my position is that when you come to a transaction, whether it's a relationship, romantic situation, or a business transaction, or with your physical body, that if you come to it and you give 120%, you get back tenfold.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you this, because you've been very successful yourself. You still are very successful yourself. And many people think, I myself know many people who are driven by ego, as do many of us. And they might argue that that's necessary. But, I mean, just look at some of the things you've accomplished here. You sat on the board of a tiny bank, went from $15 million small-town bank into a multi-state $3 billion institution. You were the youngest director of the board of a local Illinois symphony. And then you got elected to president and took it from near bankruptcy to selling out concerts. You were a student and built a highly successful business while you were a student. How did you do all that and remain without ego? Or is that something you learned along the way?
Well, there's been a lot of change, many pivots in consciousness, even as short as my recent trip to Beijing, where I interviewed some Tibetan monks. I had changes in my consciousness, but the point being that in each of those situations, I was definitely fighting with ego. My ego was saying, especially one of my more proud moments was turning the symphony around, and the women on the board came to my office and said, we really need you in a position of leadership. We need an entrepreneur. We need someone that's not afraid of being unpopular. And I said, well, you're asking me to be the captain of the Titanic. I mean, you're on the verge of bankruptcy, and my mind went into a tailspin, thinking, contributory negligence. I mean, I could be found negligent for putting the symphony in, and my business mind went crazy. And that morning, about 3 a.m., I woke up and I thought, well, here's an opportunity to give back, and of course, the shift in consciousness there was obvious, and I thought, well, I don't know whether this is smart or not, but I'm just going to do it. So, I'm not suggesting at all that I am some great person that turned around. I mean, I was definitely fighting the forces of my ego that thought, well, this is not necessarily the most profitable place to invest your time and energy. But the net result is, looking back, it was just a brilliant move. I mean, there's nothing I've done that I'm more proud of. So
yeah, and of great service too. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll continue talking with Peter Basker. His new book is called The Point of Power. And I'm going to ask Peter to look at some of the areas where most people fail with law of attraction and visualization in particular. I was really interested in reading about that. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please do stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Give me the power, and I'll make them believe. Give me the power.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job, and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair.
There's nothing else like it on the dial. Alternative Talk 1150 a.m.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. We're talking today in this segment with Peter Baska. His book is called The Point of Power. Change your thoughts, change your life, intend, declare, and detach. And the reason I really like Peter's book is he looks at the science. He looks at how it's affected him throughout his life. He looks at the application, but he also looks at ways in which most people fail when they're trying to manifest the life of their desire. So, Peter, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions around this, around the law of attraction, and where you see most people failing. And I know that one of them is in visualization. You talk a lot about contrast. In most cases, people attract what they believe they deserve, which may not, of course, be what we really want or desire. But you see that as becoming an opportunity for contrast. I wonder if you talk a little bit about that.
Well, let me start with visualization since you brought it up. Visualization is an incredibly powerful technique that I talk about in the book, and I speak of how it works for you and how it can actually work against you. But some renowned visualizers are Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods has been visualizing, taught by his father since he was a child. He was, I believe, brought up in a Buddhist home. Steve Nash, Arnold Schwarzenegger used visualization before he would participate at Mr. Universe contest. He won that five times. He won Mr. Olympian five times. He would essentially visualize his body the way that he wanted it to be. He married an East Coast Kennedy and created a successful movie career and then a political career. All of this, Arnold admits, is the result of visualization of his intentions. Now, there's another great athlete, Muhammad Ali, and he's another one that'll admit that he was the king of intention manifestation. He used visualization, and then he would assert his visualizations using power-packed words, like poetic shout-outs to his opponent. If you've ever watched any of his interviews with Howard Cosell and the media work that he would do, he would create rhymes that would describe his next knockout in advance of the fight. He would, he'd chant, "I'm the greatest." You know, in his mind, he'd already won the fight, visualized the knockdown. Archie Moore is sure to hit the floor by the end of four, for example. I discuss this in The Point of Power in a lot of detail. You also wanted me to talk about contrast.
Mm-hmm. Before we go on to that, I just want to say that the biggest key to visualization that you talk about is that the biggest mistake most people make when they're visualizing is that they visualize in the future instead of in the now.
Thank you for bringing that up. A lot of the new age speak related to positive mental attitude, positive speak, visualization. They really fall short from the standpoint of not really explaining what you've got to do. The universe sends you back exactly what you ask for. So that's good, and then it's bad. So if you're wanting something, let's say you want to win the lottery, and so you visualize yourself winning the lottery, and you meditate to that effect, and you visualize yourself winning the lottery in the future. Well, the universe will send that right back to you. You're going to win the lottery at some point in the future, not now. And the same thing holds for positive mental speak or asking for things. When you set your intention needs to be crystal clear. The universe, or if you want to refer to it as God, God does not judge. The universe does not judge. It hears what you say, and it sends back exactly what you're asking for, whether you like it or not. I think that's what you're referring to in your question.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And so in contrast, you say many of us hold on to memes that we had, you know, way back when. We need to release the resistant thoughts. But you say that we need to look at contrast as an opportunity. So talk to us a little bit more about what contrast is and why it's an opportunity.
Well, contrast is an extremely powerful tool. And all you have to do to engage the use of contrast is to simply stop labeling things as bad or good. Stop judging. When you label something as bad, you create a static situation. If you've ever been in a relationship where you want someone else to change and you're upset and you're arguing back and forth, you're not going anywhere. You're static. A different way of approaching the same topic is to relabel it as contrast. Whereas contrast, you can have the opportunity to accept the behavior, accept the position, or create a new desire. And that desire might be, well, gosh, I'm going to use a different way of dealing with this, and that might be to find another person. It might be to use another coping technique. But when you label it as contrast, you essentially create a dynamic life situation. When you label it as bad or you judge it as wrong, you create a static life situation.
That's interesting. I like that. I'm going to have to remember to use that myself.
Brilliant.
Kinesiology and consciousness was another very interesting segment in this book. David, and in particular, I'm thinking of David Hawkins' scale that he created to map human consciousness, and you discuss that in the book. I wonder if you'd share that with us, please.
Well, what's amazing to me as a true seeker in this area is there's so much scientific research out there, and we keep separating, you know, theology and God and science. And I can tell you that the two overlay perfectly. And some of the research done at the University of Wisconsin, I believe the gentleman that's actually doing the research, his name is Richard Davidson, and he basically began measuring human brain waves using an electroencephalograph approximately 30 years ago. And he would essentially measure the brain wave, measure the frequency of the brain wave, and then correlate it with a consciousness. A level of consciousness. Now, let me define level of consciousness for your listeners. Essentially, a level of consciousness is how you look at the world. We all know people that no matter what the situation is, no matter what restaurant you walk into, no matter what relationship they're in, they're always blaming the other person. They're always blaming the waiter. They're always blaming you for picking the wrong restaurant. I ascribe that to be a victim mentality. Now, a victim mentality, when measured using an electroencephalograph, the brainwave will be one that doesn't have a lot of data in it, doesn't have a lot of information. It is a low-frequency brainwave. That low-frequency brainwave goes out, you send it out as though you're a radio station, and then you attract essentially situations and people that will communicate with you at that same low frequency level. Now, unfortunately, those are folks that tend to commit suicide. That there's a correlation there. Now, conversely, people with high frequency brainwaves are creative types. They're people that are self-actualized. They basically are not looking to make anyone else wrong. They're at the helm of their ship. They're navigating their own waters. Their life is their own. These are people that understand that we're all connected. They understand that any given situation can be relabeled using contrast. They don't need to judge. They don't need to hurt other people. And they tend to be, I'll give you some names, Buddha, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Jesus Christ. These were people that essentially, when they looked at the universe, when they looked at God, they saw exactly what I'm talking about in my book, essentially, a set of laws and principles that are non-judgmental.
Mm-hmm. And you say with highly creative people, there are three habits that they routinely practice: gratitude, compassion, and acceptance.
Yeah, well, I think there are the folks that if you want to. Relabel things as contrast, and then you want to flow past them. One of the most important things is to is to feel gratitude. Because, boy, I'll tell you what, if you're in a bad situation and you can see yourself moving out of it, your first response should be thank you. It reminds me of a story that I was in Beijing, and I mentioned I was interviewing some Tibetan monks at the Lama Temple in Beijing. And was standing next to the Laughing Buddha statue. It's this huge, enormous statue, 12 feet tall, this large man with, you know, a bag around his shoulder and a big belly. And he reminds me of the concept, applying the concept of contrast. A friend of mine, Zach, was visiting his father in the hospital, and I just got through telling him the story of the Laughing Buddha and contrast and how you can relabel things. And he was sitting in his father's bed in the hospital. His father was a medical doctor, an alpha male, you know, a good father, and was just feeling nothing but guilt for making his family come to the hospital bed on Mother's Day. He was just going on, I can't believe you guys are right. You come, but you will go back and be with your mother. And Zach sat down and said, boy, Dad, I got to tell you, I got a story to tell you. My friend Peter was just in Beijing, and I want to tell you the story of the Laughing Buddha. So he went on to talk about the idea and applied it in his father's situation. You know, all the holidays that we've spent with you, Dad, and you've been healthy and you've been home. You know, think about how great those were. And his dad smiled and said, yeah, they were. We've had some great times. He's got 9 brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, this isn't so great, is it? He said, no, this is not good. I want you guys to go home and be with your mother. He said, well, this is what I want you to think about. Think about the next 20 years of amazing Christmases and birthdays and holidays that we're going to spend together. And his dad smiled and had relabeled the situation as being contrast versus bad.
Right. That makes sense.
That's how it's supposed to work.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. And that was a good story to illustrate that point, too. So we're almost at the end of our segment, Peter. I've got loads of questions for you. We just can't fit them all in. But I just, what do you want to leave our listeners with today about your book, The Point of Power, Intend, Declare, and Detach?
Well, the most important thing that I think a reader will get out of the book is no matter where you're at, no matter what your life situation is, if you're educated, if you're uneducated, if you're penniless, if you're rich and sad, if you're sick, you know, you can take the principles that I have that I set out in the Point of Power and apply them in your own life. And the most important thing is observe your thoughts. You know, even before you buy the book, just start listening to what you're thinking. Look inside, be introspective, and really listen to what you're telling yourself on a daily basis. And boy, I'll tell you what, if you start listening and you're starting to hear negative things, if you're complaining, if you're judging, if you're pointing at other people and saying, you know, I wish that person would change because then my life would be better, mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, buy the book. Read the book and begin to take responsibility for your own life because you're the only one that can turn it around, and boy, I'll tell you, you can. It's real easy. You just need to relabel your thoughts.
Yeah, and as I said in the beginning of the show, you do discuss a lot of the ways that people fail to in the law of attraction, and I'd recommend people go to Peter's website. He's got a blog up there with some interesting advice on there about being happy, and some videos up there, and the book again is called The Point of Power: Intend, Declare, and Detach. And you can find Peter at peterbaxa.com, and it's BAKSA, peterbaxa.com.
Right. You can also, I begin writing for Huffington Post, so I write an article there once a week as well.
And oh, great.
So you can search under my name, and that's BAKSA.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for being with us, Peter. Appreciate it.
Great interview. Thank you very much.
And please do stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about a little romance rehab with the 30-Day Sex Solution. Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals at Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. pause.org or 425-787-2500.
Ever feel like strangling your boss?
You little...
Or maybe you're the boss and your employees make you want to strangle yourself. Drop that noose and tune in or call in to The Boss Show, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. Hosts Jim Hessler and Steve Motenko, co-owners of Path Forward Leadership Development, will take your calls on everything boss-related, offering deep insights with a dollop of outrageousness. The Boss Show, workplace wisdom with heart and humor, Wednesday afternoons at 5.
Hi, I'm Andrea Kay, America's leading career expert. I know it's going to be a great conversation when Vicki St. Clair asked me to offer my career advice on her show. Vicki asks thoughtful questions, she's thorough, she works hard to bring you great guests who walk their talk with information and solutions that can lift your career and better your life so that you'll live well, live strong. My advice? Tune into our conversations and all the interviews on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair for thought-provoking insight and tips on the things that really matter in your life. And visit AndreaKay.com, that's Andrea, K-A-Y.com, for information about my books and loads of free practical advice and inspiration for your career.
Tune in every Monday at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Over the next 30 days, we'll bring news you can use on preventing Alzheimer's disease, and we'll dispel some of the myths and learn the facts surrounding Parkinson's disease from leading neurological experts. We'll also hear from New York Times bestselling novelists J.A. Jance and Sarah Blake. And we'll share some summer fun, Northwest weekend getaways that won't empty your wallet. Join us every Monday at noon on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. For more information, call Vicki at 800-495-7617. That's 1-800-495-7617 or email info@conversationslive.net.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Join us live every Monday at noon on Alternative Talk 1150 or stream live from conversationslive.net.
Don't forget, this is Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And I'm just going to give you a heads up here. We are going to have an adult conversation right now. So we're going to be talking about a new book called The 30-Day Sex Solution, How to Build Intimacy, Enhance Your Sex Life, and Strengthen Your Relationship in 1 Month's Time. And my guest is Dr. Victoria Zdrak. I'm going to call her Dr. Z because she said everybody has a problem remembering or pronouncing her name. But her name is Dr. Victoria Zdrak. And she is the only woman actually to be both a Playboy Playmate and the Penthouse Pet of the Year. But she earned a JD in law and a PhD in clinical psychology. She also writes a popular column, Dear Dr. Z, and hosts her own weekly show on Sirius Satellite Radio. And she wrote this book together with her husband, John Wilson, Masters. He's a therapist who currently counsels families, adults, and adolescents at Lockwood Counseling and Learning Services. Victoria, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on.
And we're going to call you Dr. Z just so we don't get confused here.
Yes.
And I don't mispronounce your name. So I want to just talk a little bit about you and your husband, first of all, why you wrote this book. Well, let's talk, first of all, about how you guys met, because you had very, very different backgrounds. You're from the Ukraine. He's from Spain. Kind of very, very different upbringings, I would think. You guys met in Washington, D.C., I believe. How did you guys connect and get together?
Well, initially, it was really, we met actually at a club, at a nightclub, and I was there for an American Psychological Convention, Association Convention, and he was out with his friend. So it was, at first, it was pure chemistry, pure lust. But 15 years later, it took time, and it took effort, and it took a lot more than pure lust to make the relationship work.
And we bring this up so that people know about what you write.
Yes. This book has been born out from both professional and personal experiences. The monogamy is never easy for any of us, and maintaining passion in long-term relationships is always a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Now, John is a family therapist. He counsels families, adults and kids. You have a degree in clinical psychology. Are you a practicing psychologist right now?
Yes. I see patients as well, usually about 2 to 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm. And so tell us about the book. It's called The 30-Day Sex Solution. I mean, I think the title says it all. How to Build Intimacy, Enhance Your Sex Life, and Strengthen Your Relationship in 1 Month's Time. What made you sit down and write this together?
Well, it's, you know, our own struggles with maintaining passion and making things work, and also seeing our own patients struggling and coming in with issues and problems. So a number of factors went in this. And, of course, initially the book was called The Romance Rehab, but my publisher wanted it to be The 30-Day Sex Solution. So it became, I had to fit the entire program in 30 days, which took a little bit of a challenge. But I do think that it works, and we've tested it on quite a few couples by now, and the program does work. It's intense. You have to do exercises every day, and couples ask me all the time, well, do we really have to do the exercises? And I tell them, it's sort of like a weight loss program. You can't expect to lose weight and not go to the gym, go to the gym and not do the exercises and expect to get fit. But the program definitely does work, and we have it broken down in 5 parts,
mm-hmm.
and each one takes care of a different factor. And it took us a while to come up with all the components. And, you know, we've really brainstormed, asked other psychologists, researched, what does it take for people to maintain passion, to bring back passion in long-term relationships? And so the first, we believe, is the priority factor, because without it, most people simply don't think sex is important after a while. They sort of put it off and figure, you know, whenever we can fit it in, we'd rather watch our favorite TV program. So we, in the first part, the priority factor, we really get people to commit and emphasize the importance of commitment. We even have the contract in there. And we talk about how you have to release your libido through the right diet and through exercise together and mm-hmm. so forth. And then another important component is how to reduce all the distractions that prevent us from reconnecting.
Right. One of the first ones you say is get rid of the television in the bedroom.
Absolutely. There was a big Italian study that's shown that once television was removed from the bedroom, people had like 10 times the sex they've had before. I mean, it is a big distraction, and people focus on the TV, on sex lives of celebrities, instead of on each other.
Yeah.
So keep it in the living room, but get it out of the bedroom.
Here's what surprised me, Dr. Z. I read in some of the material that came with your book that 15% of married couples have not had sex in a year, and another 15 to 20% have been intimate only 10 times in the last year. Are people just not making that commitment that you talk about? Are they just not committing to each other, allowing other priorities to get in the way?
Absolutely, and we see this all the time. You know, sex is great in the what we call the limerence stage, or that lustful infatuation, which lasts usually from about 3 to 36 months. And that's when you just get butterflies in the stomach when you see your partner. But most people, that kind of feeling wears off in about 18 months on average. And so then you kind of fall, the couple will fall into a sexual script, what we call a sexual script. And it becomes boring over time. And you see a sharp decline in sexual activity, in experimentation, in really connecting. Other stuff becomes important, you know, decorating their house, you know, visiting in-laws, taking care, you know, entertaining friends, anything but really, really connecting.
Right. So we make this commitment to ourselves. We make ourselves a priority. And we should concentrate on that in the first week, you say, in the book. I want to talk about the second factor, the intimacy factor. You say there can be no passion without intimacy. You can have passion without intimacy, but no great sex without intimacy. So
absolutely. I mean, it's when people first meet, and you have that lust and you're projecting, we call it projective idealization. You first meet your partner, you're projecting all of your fantasies of, you know, Prince Charming or whatever upon this person. So you're having sex with a fantasy person. But as you get to know each other, now all of a sudden all the negative emotional barriers come into play. All of a sudden you see this person, how messy he is, or maybe he snores, or maybe she doesn't shave her legs, whatever it is. So there's all kinds of, without the intimacy, you can't now have great sex because you have resentment, which starts to build and grow. And we talk about, to me, the second chapter is the most important one, and that's how to remove all the emotional barriers, how to increase feeling happy, you know, talk about the 3G, the gratitude, graciousness, and generosity with your partner, how to, and then we talk about the 5 A's, attention, affection, appreciation, and then once you master those, you have the affirmation and adoration. Mm-hmm. All those things, because what happens is when you're together a long time, you become invisible to each other. A lot of couples will come in and they will greet their dog and they will greet their kids and they will ignore their partner or barely acknowledge the partner. And so we start feeling, unappreciated, was taken for granted. There's nothing worse. Your partner becomes a habit. So that's why when we talk about all the different ways of expressing attention, affection, and appreciation, and how crucial they are to building the intimacy.
Yeah.
And, the all important concepts are jam-packed in that one chapter, pretty much all of psychology of communication, but we try to simplify it and make it easy. How to enhance intimate communication, very important, because people don't talk about their sexual desire.
Right. One of the things, if I can just interrupt you a second, that you
sure.
said that chapter two is one of your favorite chapters because this is really important about releasing the libido. And
yes.
One of the things I really liked about the book, you have insights for him and for her throughout the book in each chapter. And you also have bonus points for him and for her. And the bonus mm-hmm. point in this chapter for her is to wear high heels. And the bonus point for him is to take her shoe shopping. So talk to us about that, because you mentioned Dr. Daniel Amen, who is on, he's been on PBS a lot here in the Northwest. He
yes.
says that unknowingly, women often feel that buying shoes is like foreplay. How come? Eric's going to take his girlfriend shoe shopping.
Well, absolutely. There is a connection between, an erotic connection between shoes and our sex appeal. First of all, I always say for a woman to feel sexual, she has to feel sexy. And nothing makes a woman feel sexier than putting on a pair of new high heels. Because the research shows that women walk differently, and then they even their muscles, their pelvic muscles, which I recommend. I have a whole chapter on Kegeling and pelvic muscle exercise. But when they walk in high heels, they exercise their pelvic muscles, so they have more more flexibility, tightness of their pelvic muscles. So high heels are very erotic. They're erotic for the woman who is wearing them, and you don't have to wear them all day. You can just wear them for your partner in the house, and also for a man who is watching it. So I have throughout it, I have like little tips that I was hoping would satisfy both men and women. And I think this particular tip is very helpful.
Right. Interesting. Well, going back to Dr. Daniel Amen's comment that you share in the book, he says his series on PBS is called Sex on the Brain, or mm-hmm. in his book is Sex on the Brain, but he does a series on PBS on the brain. And he says that the sensory area of the foot is right next door
yes.
to the sensory area of the clitoris. Now, that's kind of an interesting correlation there. But that's how he tied that in. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about enhancing communication, because as you said, that is key. It's key to any relationship. And we all know it is seriously key in couples' relationships. So please stay with us. We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Z. And you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Dr. Z's new book is called The 30-Day Sex Solution. When I need to come along, sex bomb, yeah. You're my sex bomb, and baby, you can turn me on.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
This is Kim Ariano. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Intuitive dream coach Joyce Chapman says there are no little dreams, that every desire is important, and that you deserve life to its fullest. As a dream activist, Joyce has helped thousands of people gain clarity about their lives and make positive changes. She can help you too. See more information at joycechapman.com. And if you have a question for Joyce regarding your dream, email joyce@joycechapman.com.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to help you live well, live strong.
Bringing you fresh perspectives every day. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Can't give it to me when I need to come along. Sex bomb, sex bomb. You're my sex bomb.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And in this segment, we are talking about romance rehab. We are talking about sex. So we're having an adult conversation. Nothing too raunchy, obviously, but just in case you have kids around. And my guest is Dr. Victoria Zdrak. We're calling her Dr. Z. That's how she's commonly known. Dr. Z, her new book, which is written with her husband, John Wilson, who's has a master's in therapy and does family counseling. Her new book is called The 30-Day Sex Solution, How to Build Intimacy, Enhance Your Sex Life, and Strengthen Your Relationship in 1 month's time. I wanted to talk about communication a little bit more, Victoria, because I think that is key in any relationship. And this was interesting to me. You have a chart in the book called Insights for Him and Her. You have these insights throughout the book. And this particular one is about the differences between her and his sexual communication. You say women relate through talking together. Men relate through doing things together. Women relate with face-to-face communications. They find relationship talks soothing. Men prefer side-by-side communication and find relationship talk confrontational. Talk to us a little bit about some of the differences there, if you would, and why it's so important we both recognize, both sexes recognize that.
Well, there is a definite biologically based communication differences in genders. Again, I always say that men are side-by-side communicators and women are face-to-face communicators. And evolutionary psychologists believe it all started in the time immemorial when women would sit by the campfire and they would, do their beads or they would make the clothes. And they would talk to each other face-to-face. And that was the way the oxytocin, the hormone, would get released. They would feel warm and fuzzy and comfortable. Well, men hunted together. So the only time they would really be face-to-face is usually when they fought. So our psyche developed in very different ways. Men normally, when they would be tête-à-tête with someone, they would get a little defensive. They would think confrontation. Well, women, when they're tête-à-tête, they feel soothing and comfortable. So I always tell people, our couples, that, you know, if you have certain issues with your spouse and you want to discuss them, men may not be comfortable. Your man may not be comfortable if you sit down and say, okay, I want to talk now face to face. He might immediately get defensive. Instead, if you go for a walk or if you engage in some kind of activity that is side by side, whether it's gardening or whether you go for a bike ride, men are much more receptive to communicating that way, or if you're laying in bed side by side. So it's an important tip as we try to remove these negative emotional barriers.
Yeah, this is really interesting because I have a friends who have been a couple for a long, long, long time, and they were on the verge of divorce, and they'd always wanted to take a world trip, and they decided to, as they were splitting their assets and everything, to take this world trip. But they roughed it. They went hiking and back camping, and so it wasn't a glamorous kind of trip. But he really fell back in love with her, and they're still together today, because he said that just being and doing together and watching her overcome some of the challenges they had during that trip just really made him fall back in love with her. It was quite amazing.
It's a great illustration of my point. And in the chapter before about release and libido, I talk about choosing activities, especially athletic activities, you know, whether it's walking or hiking or geocaching, things that you can do side by side with your spouse, things that will bring you together.
Yeah, yeah. So you talk also about the novelty factor. One of the weeks you want people to spend time on reinventing themselves, rediscovering each other, revamping their sexual scripts. Talk to us a little bit about what goes into that week.
Well, novelty is crucial as well to exciting sex life, because what happens, you know, the feeling, I tell people, remember the feeling when you get in a new car, how excited you are, how everything, you notice everything, you notice how the car drives. A little time goes by and you forget and you don't really care. You make a mess in that car. You no longer pay any attention. We as human beings tend to habituate to stimuli. We need that novelty to get excited about things. So I give all kinds of ideas for people on how they can reinvent themselves. Like, we suggest surprise nights, in addition to date nights, we suggest surprise nights where couples can surprise each other, take turns doing something unexpected, something different. The reason novelty is so important is because novel stimuli releases some of the norepinephrine, adrenaline, which gives you that that butterflies in the stomach feeling, the mm-hmm. feeling that it kind of recreates some of the feelings you felt when you first met your partner, because that's when norepinephrine is high. So we're trying to get you back to that state, and there's all kinds of ideas we have on how you can rediscover each other, change your sexual script, and really, you know, because I always say boring people have boring sex, on a kind of way of making it interesting and exciting. And if you think this is drastic, there is actually a therapist in California, marriage therapist, who tells people that the couples that they have to live apart for 30 days, obviously for a very wealthy couple, because not many people can afford that. And mm-hmm. during those 30 days, they have to change completely so that when you meet each other after 30 days, you are really stunned on how much your partner has changed. Well, we don't go that far. We are very realistic, and all our tips are very pragmatic. We realize people are busy, and they can't just take a 30-day vacation. But we come up with all kinds of fun suggestions of reintroducing novelty.
And, right. Right. Now, I know one of the big drawbacks to people when they're trying to go through, I mean, this is a 30-day program. What happens when you've got kids around? I know you have two children around. How do you and your husband cope with having the kids around?
You know, and children are wonderful, but they are a challenge. So there are all kinds of problem solving that you have to come up with. Obviously, the babysitters, we drop them off as much, you know, at grandparents' house as possible to get breaks. And we call it the dirty little motel syndrome. We sometimes, when it just gets too overwhelming here, we may drop them off at another parent's house or have a babysitter here. We just run to the closest little motel we can find and check in for an hour. And it's amazing how different you connect so much better if you're removed from all the distractions. Like in the house, everything is a distraction. Everything, there's floating to-do lists in this house right now. Mm. You know, everything that hasn't been done that needs to be done. And these are conditioned stimuli for your stress. So but when you remove those stimuli in this little, it doesn't have to be an expensive hotel, I tell people. It's amazing how different it is. So we have some suggestions in the book. But basically, yeah, we try to be creative. I have a number of other moms where we trade babysitting services,
right,
so it doesn't get expensive.
Right. all good suggestions. And we're running out of time here. You talk about the importance of kissing. There's 3 pages of kissing techniques here. There are moan zones to explore. I mean, there's a lot of really very good, very practical information in this book. And just real quick, Dr. Z, what would you like to leave our listeners with today?
Well, I want the listeners to remember that it is possible to revamp the passion. I don't want them to give up and to feel like they've fallen out of love with their partner or their partner has fallen out of love with them. I want them to have the hope and to know that if the passion was there, you can get back in touch with that passion and you can reconnect with your partner. Do not give up. Too many people, our culture gives up too easily.
Yeah.
And we give up too easily on relationships.
Yeah, we do. We do. I agree with you. And I thank you so much for being here with us, Dr. Victoria Zdrak. You say it.
Zdrak,
that's it. And you can find out more about the book. The book is The 30-Day Sex Solution, How to Build Intimacy, Enhance Your Sex Life, and Strengthen Your Relationship in 1 month's time. Some really great advice in here. Hey, thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it. You can find me at conversationslive.net or 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next week. Live well, live strong.